hello and welcome to the Informed Traveler podcast, part of the Informed Traveler radio show, which is heard each week on Chorus Radio. It's a travel podcast where our goal is to help you become a more informed traveler. And I'm your host, Randy Sharman. Canada's newest ultra-low-cost carrier, Lynx Air, will be taking off with their inaugural flight later this week. So in a few moments, we're going to chat with the CEO of Lynx Air to learn more about the airline and what to expect from it in the coming months. Then we'll head to Memphis, Tennessee, home to the Hyatt-centric Beale Street Memphis Hotel, located within walking distance of the city's famed entertainment district and historic landmarks. And then later in the podcast, we'll visit Costa Rica and find out about a fantastic newer development that is car-free and located right on the beach. It's an area known as Las Catalinas. But as I mentioned, we're going to begin our podcast this week talking about one of Canada's newest ultra-low-cost air carriers, Lynx Air, which will be taking off with their inaugural flight later this week. So joining us now is the CEO of Lynx Air, Maren MacArthur, to tell us more about the airline and what to expect from it in the coming months. The website is flylynx.com. Hi, Maren.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Tell me the story behind Lynx Air and what you're all about.
Well, Lynx Air is Canada's new ultra-affordable airline, and we're about to launch in less than 2 weeks now. We're counting down the days to launch. We're putting the finishing touches on our airline so that we'll be ready to welcome Canadians on board in just under 2 weeks' time.
Well, it's very exciting, and like I always say, more competition is a good thing for consumers. But I have to ask, and I'm sure you've been asked this a million times, Canada's history with low-cost or ultra-low-cost airlines has not been good. What have you learned from other airlines in the past?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. You can probably tell from my accent that I'm from Australia, so I've been living in Canada since June last year, so I've been listening and learning to Canadians about the market dynamics. And the feedback I'm getting is that, one, there's an education piece around what our model is, and an assumption that because the fares are low, that we might provide a lesser service. And we want to redefine that. We don't believe that low fares and low cost mean low value. We've got a great team of passionate people who've worked in airlines for a long, long time, and they know what customers want, and we're going to empower them to give customers what they want. So we're going to be flying brand new Boeing 737 aircraft, so the in-flight experience will be really positive as well. And we've got a transparent pricing structure, so that people know what they're getting when they pay for it.
Yeah, and that's the whole idea behind ultra-low-cost carriers. You pay for what you want, and if you don't want something, you don't have to pay for it. And that's the whole kind of model. Do I have that correct?
That's correct, yes.
So tell me about your expansion out of Toronto now. I think that's very exciting. You know, there's a I always call Toronto like the hub of Canada, because there's so many flights that go in and out of there. So that's got to be very exciting for you too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, it's not just Toronto. We've got we're on sale now with 10 destinations coast to coast, right from Victoria all the way across to St. John's. So we've got a really well-developed network, so people can fly right across the country on Lynx Air once we start flying on the 7th of April. But, yeah, Toronto is a big hub, Vancouver is a big hub, and Calgary is a big hub.
So you got those three big hubs. You also fly out of what airports?
So starting from the west, it's Victoria, Vancouver, Kelowna, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Toronto Pearson, Toronto and Hamilton, Halifax, and St. John's.
So you are across the country. This is great. It always gives people more options, more things to do when flying. Is it just domestic flights for now?
It is domestic for now for a couple of reasons. Firstly, you know, we're just a new airline. We're starting up, so we want to make sure that we get everything right before we add more complexity to our operations. And flying transborder and internationally is a little bit more complex. But also, probably more importantly, the demand, primary demand is, I believe, still domestic because of concerns, even though the government is reducing restrictions on travel internationally. I think that Canadians are still pretty keen to travel domestically, and that's where the main demand is. So mm-hmm. we're focused on domestic initially, and then perhaps in about 6 months' time, we'll start to look at transborder and then ultimately international. But what we will be encouraging people to do is create their own itineraries. So, you know, they may, particularly if they're flying internationally, they may want to fly on us domestically to get to an international airport that they can fly out of, and so that they can create their own itineraries, perhaps using the lower fares on the shorter domestic sectors so that they can save money for maybe a little bit more comfort on the international airlines.
Mm-hmm. Well, it all sounds very exciting. People can go on flylinks.com and you can book in. You can book now for future flights, obviously, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And by summer, we will be operating nearly 150 flights per week, which is over 27,000 seats. So we're going to be growing rapidly. So you can get on flylinks.com and you can book one of those seats now for the next few months or for the summer period.
Sounds great. Maren MacArthur is the CEO with Lynx Air. Again, flylinks.com is the website. Thanks for your time, Maren. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Randy. Really, really enjoyed the chat.
Well, Memphis, Tennessee has always been a hot spot for music lovers and Elvis fans, and one place to stay located right in the heart of all the action in downtown Memphis is the Hyatt Centric Beale Street, Memphis. So joining us now from Memphis is Nick Janicek. He is the Area Director of Sales, Marketing, and Events for the Hyatt Centric Beale Street, Memphis. Hyatt.com is their website. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Tell me about the Hyatt Centric Beale Street, Memphis, where it's located, how long you've been around. I've never been to Memphis, so tell me about it a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So our property, we actually are coming up on a year. We opened April 15th of 2021. We are the first and only hotel actually on world-famous Beale Street. So very exciting addition to the downtown Memphis area, and very excited to debut this Hyatt brand here in downtown. You know, with our location at Beale in front, we also, beyond being able to be a quick walk over to Beale, also right there at all the culture and entertainment from South Main, and then we are also located right on the Mississippi River. So all the walkability plus all of the great views of the river and mighty lights on the Hernando de Soto. So a fantastic location, and we're excited to be part of downtown Memphis.
Well, it does sound exciting. I get the impression that Beale Street is very vibrant and has a lot of things going on. Is that true?
Absolutely. It's really the heart of Memphis, live music all up and down the street, just some very great eclectic shops, as well as fun bars, restaurants from, you know, a local standard of B.B. King's over to the great patio of Silky O'Sullivan's and beyond. You know, definitely something for everyone, especially if you're into live music and blues and jazz. That's where that's the place to be.
So tell me about the rooms, types of rooms that you offer, different amenities available, and what your guests can enjoy while they're staying at your hotel.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our hotel was really built to reflect the history and the vibrancy and, you know, the future of Memphis. As you go through our hotel and you're in your guest rooms, nods to the city all over. One of my favorite features in our King guest rooms is actually our open shower glass walls that are really what I call the bucket list of Memphis, phenomenal etched glass of just a bunch of different things that represent the town and places you need to see. With where we sit, we're actually connected into the William C. Ellis and Sons Ironwork Shop that was actually constructed in 1879 and has a huge family-owned company history in the city of Memphis. And we've really taken a lot of the industrial side and history of that, and a lot of the artwork and a lot of the inspirations of the building itself. With our location being right on the river, we are actually able to say that we do have in our lobby level restaurant, Seamus, the only downtown riverfront restaurant, phenomenal views of the river, also al fresco patio dining. And then if you make it up to the 8th floor, Beck and Call, our rooftop lounge, the only unobstructed river views in the city of Memphis. Phenomenal patio up there, some great craft cocktails using a lot of local distilleries, as well as some great beers from our local breweries. You know, and then we also do have our pool deck for the summers if you just want to relax. Resort-style pool overlooking the Mississippi as well. Private cabanas for rent, poolside food and beverage service. Just really a fun spot to relax after a day of exploring the city.
Well, it does sound all fabulous. You got some photos on your website. It's Hyatt.com, and then you just have to kind of search for the Hyatt-centric Beale Street Memphis. You'll find it. The pool looks amazing. You got a spa or a workout room, so you can get a little exercise if you want. There's lots of things going on. Tell me about the restaurants, though.
Seamus is our lobby-level restaurant. It's dinner only. It's really a unique concept that's taking a lot of the Latin American influence that has a history all through the Delta, but taking those ingredients and really looking at it through a Southern lens and Southern-style cooking to create, you know, just a really unique concept for dinner, and then also some great options for weekend brunch as well. And then upstairs, Beck and Call is really what I call beverage forward. It's all about the cocktail first, which I love. It definitely lends itself to the perfect place to grab a great old-fashioned and just sit on the patio and watch the sunset over the river, but also some great small bites and tapas up there to soak up some of that that Old Dominic whiskey.
You had me at cocktail. It just sounds like a great place to stay, right in the heart of Memphis. Tell me about some of the events that might be coming up in Memphis that people might want to visit for.
Yeah, the next big one we've got coming up, we're very excited about every year, Memphis in May. We're coming back in full force this year, coming out of the pandemic, and are really excited about that. Includes the Beale Street Music Festival happening that last weekend of April, first weekend of May, and then the World Barbecue Contest coming back full force this year as well. We were actually just the city of Memphis itself was just featured on Afar.com as one of the best cities to visit in the month of May, specifically because of this festival. They're very big. We're very excited to have it back. And then as we look through the rest of the year, of course, everyone always gets excited about Elvis Week coming up in August. Really a dedication to all things Elvis. It's the 45th anniversary for that festival, and has always had a great international draw. So with everything kind of opening back up, we're excited to welcome our international friends back and really have a good time.
Well, it sounds like it. How hot does it get in the summer, though?
You know, it gets a little warm, being out on the river and being this close to the river, you do always get a great breeze to help cool it down. But it's definitely not one of the cities in the summer where you need to pack your parka. Just come in your shorts and your T-shirts and you'll be fine.
Well, you can pack lightly. I like that. Anything else I might have missed that people should know?
You know, really just it's an exciting time here in Memphis. And, you know, we've got a lot going on downtown. Everybody's excited that everything is opened back up. And really, there's something for everyone, from, great barbecue from Rendezvous or Central Barbecue here downtown, or a lot of the culture from the Blues Hall of Fame, or you've got Graceland, all of that. So just a little bit of something for everybody. And we're excited to welcome everybody back into town.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but if I have to try one dish in Memphis, what should I try?
It goes back and forth on whether you like Rendezvous or Central. They're both about their ribs, but I'm a Rendezvous guy and they're dry rub ribs.
Ah, very good. Nick Janicek is the Area Director of Sales and Marketing and Events for the Hyatt-centric Beale Street Memphis. You can catch more information on the Hyatt website, Hyatt.com. Sounds like it'd be a fun time to visit Memphis, that's for sure. Thanks, Nick.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, Costa Rica has always been a popular vacation location for many people, and there's a newer development that has grown over the past few years known as Las Catalinas. So joining us now to tell us more about the area of Las Catalinas and visiting there is Brian Funsek. He is the Director of Residential Sales for Las Catalinas. The website is lascatalinascr.com. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going very well. Tell me about the area in general of Las Catalinas.
Yeah, so Las Catalinas is a new town that we're in the process of building and developing here in the northern Guanacaste region of Costa Rica, right on the beach. We're trying to build our little slice of paradise, and so for me that always includes the ocean. So we've got a beautiful Pacific Ocean, a couple beaches, Playa Danta and Dantita right here on our property. Great for snorkeling and boogie boarding and paddle boarding and a little bit of surfing and better surf nearby, which is nice, a quick 10-minute drive away. And then on the other side of town, we've got a 1,200-acre preserve where we have about 40 kilometers of mountain biking and hiking trails that are, I mean, in my mind, they're world class. I haven't been too many other places mountain biking, but started doing it here, and I'm absolutely hooked. I already got in about a 15-mile ride this morning before work, and so that whole nature preserve will continue to be here even as town grows, because the type of town that we're building is very different from what most people are used to, and most of what has been the standard here in, I would say, this hemisphere over the last century, which is really urban sprawl, which is, that's what I grew up in back in South Carolina, and everything in urban sprawl communities are very automobile dependent. So it's kind of the assumption that anytime you go do anything, you're going to get in your car to go do that.
Mm.
Whereas Las Catalinas is being designed more as completely as a car-free town. So that when you're here, I was able to go mountain biking this morning, go grab breakfast in my favorite restaurant, walk my son over to his preschool and drop him off at school, and then walk 2 minutes over to work and do that all without ever having to even see a car. The nice thing about that is it's just more social. Like you meet people are more friendly. And it was a funny thing that happens when you drive in a car where basically anybody else driving a car is your sworn enemy. Whereas when you're on foot, people are just your neighbor. And so I'd say that's kind of the gist of what we're doing. It's very inspired though by other towns that were built before cars even existed. So you'll see a lot of, inspiration from places like Italy, France, Spain, Greece, parts of the Mediterranean that are really beautiful towns from thousands of years ago. So we've taken a lot of lessons about what make those places beautiful and applied them here in our new growing town, and as well as with other modern amenities like reliable internet systems and wastewater treatment plants and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, when you look on your website, lascatalinascr.com, and look at the images, you do get sort of, there is a European flair in the architecture, but how many people live there? When you're talking about, people don't really drive around there, it's got to be a small, compact area, I would think.
Yeah, it's very compact, especially compared to, anything that is more automobile-centric. So we have 1,200 acres, so that's about, 3 miles, about 2 miles in every direction from where I'm sitting here on the beach, to the north, to the east, and to the south. And because we're building it to be walkable at a higher density, of about 160 homes that we have, either I'd say maybe 150 finished with another 15 or 20 under construction in our first phase in Beachtown, that's all on an area of only about 20 acres, which is probably about the size of your local Walmart super parking lot. And so within that 150 homes that are finished now, we have about 150 full-time residents. I live here with my wife and our 2-year-old, a lot of young families like me. And then we also have quite a few people who are not quite retired, empty nesters that come down 3 to 4 months out of the year. And everybody's real active and really enjoys kind of the community and just how friendly everybody is, as opposed to what has been kind of the model in Costa Rica, which has been like the lonely castle on a hill, which usually has beautiful views, but there's like no community whatsoever. Whereas, our town is really focused on creating an environment where kids can have freedom, where people can meet other people. We had Costa Rica just had a great soccer game against El Salvador a couple of days ago. And we're watching that upstairs at one of the restaurants with a bunch of the locals. So, so it's a really nice environment, but it's still all happening in a very small area.
And you are open to visitors. It's not like you're secluded and you don't want people to come visit your area, right?
Absolutely. That's, I'd say it's probably unique to Las Catalinas when you compare us with other typical developments in our area of this scope. Most developments, kind of the business model is exclusivity, where you have a big gate and security, and you kind of try to keep everybody that's not staying there out and try to keep everybody that is staying there in. Whereas we have more of an open borders policy, still very great security, which is helped by the fact that it's a small area that we're trying to secure and there's no cars. But we actually encourage people from the local community to come out, rent a bike, ride on the trails, eat at the restaurants, shop in the grocery stores, get a massage at the spa for multiple reasons. One, that obviously helps support those businesses, which are great amenities for people like us who live here. Mm-hmm. But it also just creates a more interesting ebb and flow of visitors. So you'll have a variety of people living here, people that are here on vacation for a week. Right now it's spring break, so we got a lot of week-long rentals here. But even just this morning, my friends that came mountain biking with me, one of them lives here on site and works here at the bike shop. The other two live 10 minutes, 15 minutes down the road. And so they drive in, ride with me, and grab a coffee and then head back to the local community. And it's also nice because even for us who are here, I can go 2 or 3 days without having to leave. But after a while, the 8 restaurants or 7 restaurants that we have start to get old. There's really great restaurants and a brewery and some other great things to do, just a 10-minute car ride down the road.
So tell me where you're located and what's the easiest way of getting there?
Yeah, so we are the northwest coast of Costa Rica in the Guanacaste province. And the easiest way to come internationally is to fly through the International Liberia Airport. It's LIR if you're searching online. And that's only about a 45, 50-minute drive from the airport to where we are. So easy straight shot, paved roads. There's one river you get to cross through, but other than that, it's paved the whole way. And then again, once you're here, there's not much driving to do. And Liberia Airport has direct flights all over the country in the U.S., from Los Angeles, New York, Houston, pretty much all the major hubs that have direct flights, and they continue to increase every year as the popularity of our area is increasing.
Well, and the word that comes to mind when you're talking about all this is relaxation. Like, wow, if you really wanted to relax and unwind, this is a great choice, isn't it?
100%. They definitely, in Costa Rica, you'll hear them say, it's almost like a national slogan is Pura Vida, which translates literally to pure life. But they, they use it to say hello, goodbye, relax, don't worry, Hakuna Matata. You can kind of, it can be the response to almost any question. And another word that you'll hear almost as often that until I came here, I didn't really appreciate was tranquilo, which is, like tranquil.
Mm.
And so it's just a slower pace. People are a little bit less stressed. I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, which is pretty laid back. It's the South. Everybody's pretty friendly. But even compared to here, it's still kind of a fast pace. And I love that there's just, I feel like a slower pace to life here. Not that I don't get a lot done, but there's not that constant pressure that you sometimes feel in a big city.
And there's lots of different accommodation options as well. You mentioned there's, rentals and those types of things, but there's hotels and all kinds of options, really.
Absolutely. And continuing as we grow, those options only increase. Right now we've got the homes and the flats, which you can rent, through our rental company here in-house, Beach Town Travel, as well as some people manage their own on Airbnb. We also have 2 hotels. There's Casa Chameleon, which is a really nice, fancy, really high-end hotel with just jaw-dropping views, great restaurant. And then we also have the Santa Reina Hotel, which is right here kind of in the heart of town in the little market plaza that we have. And then there's also the Posada San Rafael, which is a beautiful bed and breakfast, kind of Guatemalan-inspired with lots of beautiful antiques that's beachfront. Those are just some of the options that we have now, and there's more stuff, lots more under construction as we speak.
Well, it sounds like an absolutely fantastic place to visit. It's Las Catalinas, easy for me to say, in Costa Rica. You can see more information at lascatalinascr.com, and Brian Funsick is the Director of Residential Sales for Las Catalinas. It was great chatting with you, Brian. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for having me on.
That is this week's Informed Traveler podcast. Remember, this is the podcast version of the Informed Traveler radio show, which is heard each week on Chorus Radio. You can find more information on the show at our website, theinformedtraveler.org. So thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, let us know, leave a review, tell a friend, or you can drop me a line. My email is randy@theinformedtraveler.org. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/informedtraveler or follow me on Twitter at informedtraveler.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.